Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Friday, the last day of September, Tori.
Yeah, Friday!
It is the 30th of the month.
There you go.
Tomorrow, October starts, like I really care, right?
Yeah, you do. All the women are like, pumpkin spice it out!
That's true, right?
Halloween starting.
Pumpkin spice and everything. You like Halloween?
I love the whole thing.
Do you?
The whole thing.
I know, some people are like that,
right? You're not a happy person? You don't like Halloween?
I'm not into costumes and stuff, you know? I think it's for kids. But,
yeah, all right.
But that's my opinion.
Pop that bubble real quick.
I know, right?
Right? I'm out.
Well, Halloween is for kids, don't you think?
No, I think Halloween
don't go out and treat or treat.
Excuse me, I have a fantastic house party.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, but you don't go trick or treating and stuff.
I did try at one point, and it was clear I was too old.
Yeah, right.
And it was awkward for everyone.
Yeah,
the kids behind us waiting for food, the people in there, and for us.
Wow.
And I was like, I just want my stickers, and I want to get out of here.
I would have wanted to bury myself.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm a stand-up comic, so we don't have a lot of self-dignity.
That's true, right?
So I was fine with it.
So you just throw yourself out there.
Whatever happens. No, but you have a raging Halloween party. Everyone kind of loses their inhibitions wearing a mask, wearing something. And
that's
it's a
true,
fun,
right?
fun time.
Yeah. I haven't celebrated that many. I haven't gone to that many Halloween parties. But when I did, I remember one year I went as a woman.
Okay.
And my wife at the time dressed me up as a woman with fishnet stockings.
Wow. I'm trying to picture how
a mini dress. I looked like shit.
Did you? Because you could be an attractive female.
No, I was not an attractive female.
Okay. Maybe you're right.
I looked like a man in drag. That's what
so
I looked like.
So what was the costume? Just a woman?
But I was like 32. So, okay. I mean, it was a lot more convincing than it would
there
be
you,
now.
But was there any type of costume to it? Or are you just playing a woman?
I wore a mini dress.
And everything? Okay, that's very funny.
Yeah, you know, and boobs and
did
everything.
Did you have fun?
So, yeah.
There you
people
go.
Didn't know who I was.
There you go. That's the fun part about Halloween.
Yeah, right?
It's the best.
So, yeah. But I don't know. You know, do you believe, you think there's something to the fact that there's a reason why people wear certain costumes? Do they, like, identify with them?
Oh, my God. It's when women go slutty. You know that's what everyone does, especially Los Angeles.
They want to be, right?
And they can say anything. I'm a slutty ghost. I'm a slutty psychiatrist. I'm a slutty bat. I'm a slutty cat.
Slutty devil.
Slutty devil. And it's like, it's your day to go there. It's like your wedding day. You get to one day to wear this, and she's like, my red, like, sparkly devil suit that goes up my hoo-ha is going to be out tonight.
Yeah, I get to be the slut that I always want to be.
Always wanted to be.
Yeah, I won't put it out there.
One day a year, man. It should be your day.
Right, exactly, right? There you go.
Maybe I'll
participate this year. I'll have to think of what I'm going to dress
you
as.
You could just go as like...
You know, maybe with a wig or something.
Yeah.
Maybe look like a rocker, aging rocker.
First
or something.
Of all, that's what you've always wanted to be. Why don't you go out there and be a rock star?
Right.
It's a great idea.
Exactly. Like an aging rock star with like long gray hair.
Yeah.
And yeah, like.
You're going with a lot of backstory for this rock star. He's
I know,
like a name and everything.
Create a background.
Well,
behind
I think that's really, I think, why not? That's like play. That's why not?
Yeah.
And you'd have a really good time. And remember, you just brought up a party from a million years ago that you still remember.
Right,
that's
exactly.
That's why Halloween's fun.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or maybe go like as a James Bond or something.
I
that would be cool,
also like
right?
this idea.
Yeah.
I also am a fan of this
idea. Maybe I'll get this Ferrari, driving this Ferrari that they just released.
Okay, tell
have
me about
have you heard
it.
About this
nice
one?
Segue, by the way.
Yeah, I had to talk about this
Yeah,
Ferrari
I know you know.
Because it's a...
Men in their cars.
It's called the convertible supercar called La Ferrari Aperta. It cost only $2.2
million. $2.2
million. Yeah.
It's probably
would
Aperta.
Like
I speak Italian. It's Aperta,
Aperta.
Right? A-P-E-R-T-A?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
What does Aperta mean?
I think it means like open.
Okay.
Because it's a convertible.
Yeah.
Chiuso.
Yeah, that's right. Like Spanish is Aberto or something,
oh,
right?
Yeah. See, I learned French and Italian, which is not helpful in the least. It's the most snobby.
No, but they all sound alike. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Italian and Spanish sound very similar.
Right.
French
exactly.
is like.
Yeah, but French does have some words that are similar, I think, in many ways, you know? And I was just thinking about it this morning. I was thinking about French. I don't know, because I was listening to an Elton John song that's from an album called. chateau or something.
Chateau.
Oui. Yeah, but chat is a cat. Is a cat.
Yeah, chateau
right.
is
so
castle.
Chat, cat, same thing, right?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, you see, it is. It's like take out the H.
Castello. Yeah. No, there's similarities, but the interesting thing is Italian and Spanish, you're using the front part of your mouth. So think about it. It's all buongiorno. It's all in the front. And
that's
then French
true.
Is
in the throat.
In the back.
In the throat. That's true.
So that's why it's kind of a sexy language, because it's back there.
Yeah, I guess it is back there, right? It is a very sexy language.
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy about French people. I don't know
Wow,
why.
That went so far generalization.
Right? No, I didn't say, did I say anything about them?
You,
no,
you
I just
like
said
them?
I don't like
Okay. Many. The whole of the French people.
Yeah.
That's a lot
because
of people.
They haven't been fair to Americans, I don't feel. I don't know.
Maybe French politics. Maybe that's what you meant.
Yeah, well.
No?
No,
okay.
I mean, look, many people have told me that, I mean, I've been to Paris, but I was there a long time ago. I don't
sure.
remember, right? But people have been there and they say they're not very nice to Americans. They refuse to speak English. That's one thing. Because they're very proud, you
mm-hmm.
know? And I understand that.
Totally.
You know, I mean, French used to be like the universal language.
French used to be the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I spend time in Paris a lot. And the people do have sort of like the British have a stiff upper lip.
Oh, they
sort of, you know, they don't really show emotions. That's the stereotype of the Brits. The French do have a little tude that I think is kind of cool.
Okay, so it's not just Americans, you think? What?
No, I think French do have a little, I think they're very proud of their culture. And I think they show that in a very high attitude. And maybe you're picking up on that. Mm-hmm. And I feel you, but I kind of dig it.
Okay.
But that's
okay.
because I can speak French and pretend I am one. That's
right.
why.
Yeah, that's true.
I just pretend I'm one.
Yeah, that's true,
But
right?
I'm never going to be French
and,
enough.
And yeah, and you've been there longer. So what did I do here? I think I just spilled some water
this
on me.
This is very French of you.
Yeah, I spilled some water on my shirt.
L'eau de toilette.
But, I know, but French songs are very sexy.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes.
I grew up on those, many of them, yeah. And because, you know, growing up in Israel and everything, you got the music from
everywhere.
You know, a lot from Europe and stuff. So it was nice. French, Italian songs, Spanish songs.
That's really cool. Nice little mix. I remember when I learned Italian in college at University of Michigan, she would cook us tiramisu if it was someone's birthday. So, of course, it's 8 in the morning and Michigan's frigid cold. So I'm always hungry and freezing. So she left one time and I got everyone together and I'm like, here's your birthday, and it was one consecutive day after the other, and we just had tiramisu for like 3 months.
I love that.
And I was so well fed.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And she's like, wow, so many birthdays. I was like, Jamie's birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And we want cake. That was smart.
I know.
But yeah, different languages, different type of attitudes. The Italians are very gestural and very aggressive.
Right.
And their hands, but like with their women, like it's like I was in Italy and they'll grab the back of your neck and walk with you instead of sort of hold hands.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a but it's kind of sexy. It's a territorial thing. Yeah.
Like take control of me or something.
Yeah. And then the French are
this feminist.
Yeah. I know. I felt weird about it, but I did get a little bit funny feelings.
Wow.
Because it's a nice feeling. It's not in a mean way. It's just like, this is my woman.
Right.
And yeah, it's sexy as hell. But then the French, it's a lot of they couldn't care. That's cool too.
Well, I'll have to take your word for it, because you were in Europe more recently than I was.
Yeah, but you know who are the nicest people that I met in Europe? The Germans.
Really?
And as a Jew, that's crazy to say. But I gotta be honest, couldn't be nicer people. And everything was very punctual.
Yeah. They're efficient.
Very efficient people.
Yeah.
Clean.
Yeah. I know. And we've had a few German people over the years on the show, and they always end up being very nice people. You know, I don't
know
why
kinder.
They wouldn't be. Yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't. And their art was great. Switzerland was also great.
Yeah. I know. And I told you I was in Denmark too. Remember we were talking about that the other day? That was beautiful too. You know,
everyone
so
go.
I need to start traveling.
Yeah,
you know? But please don't travel to like places in Africa called Seychelles, for example.
Don't go to Seychelles. Why
Seychelles,
is that?
Right? Because these two sisters were found dead in their hotel room.
Your segue is today,
right? You know,
great segue again.
That's what I'm saying, man.
So what happened?
It is a segue because we were talking about travel.
No,
and
I know.
Women
great job.
Are traveling to Seychelles, which is an island off of Africa,
right?
And quite frankly, I mean, yes, they have nice beaches and everything, but why would you go so far to a place like this where you'd surely die of something?
What happened? How did they die?
They don't know.
They're just two
There's
dead
no
women
signs
in their
of violence.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, can you imagine what the hell could have happened
there?
Some kind of bug? I don't know. But,
scorpion?
But the adventureness of some people, the sense of adventure is so deep that they'll go anywhere.
Well, the Seychelles are known as like Maldives. It's like a resort right. area. So their whole thing is tourism. So you have two people who are dead. Not good for that country.
I know, but it's third world countries, you know, and I don't feel comfortable there.
Yeah, I know. I am a snob about travel, too. I glamp. I don't camp.
Yeah,
and like I grew up with parents that also were very into high-end travel. So I, but then again, I stayed in hostels all throughout
That's
Europe,
true.
Backpacking through Vienna and Switzerland.
Yeah.
Man, hostels are disgusting.
Aren't they dumb?
There's like one bathroom, no sheets.
Whoa.
What was I doing?
Yeah, what a lousy way to travel.
But it was great. I was like 18.
Yeah,
exactly.
At that age.
And it was 20. I was 20. And I was just like totally loving it.
Yeah, wow.
Now I'm like, ew, ew, ew.
Wow. Now, did you do this by yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I went to Italy by myself, studied abroad in a villa, and it was Michigan, Wisconsin, and Duke. And it's a villa owned by actually a duke, which is funny. No, a count, I think. And it's in Sesto Fiorentina, and it's right out of Florence. And we stayed with, you know, you had a chef in your own garden, so every day you'd fresh blood oranges and coffee. And,
how cool is that?
Yeah, and then at Thanksgiving, the chef came out and started singing Ave Maria in our, like, loggia, and everyone started crying, and I was like, this is the coolest place ever. So it was really fun. But I did. I, like, traveled alone. I went to Vienna by myself in a train. Nowadays, I'm like,
Yeah, I know. I've traveled alone, too. And
now
In ways, it's better, though, because you get to sort of, like, get involved in anything.
It's the
you
best.
Know, you just meet people. When you're with someone, you don't meet as many people.
That's correct. And like James Baldwin said, you meet a lot of people in Europe when you travel alone. I even met myself.
Oh, there you go. You see?
Oh, shit.
Eat, pray, love, and all that stuff.
Elizabeth Gilbert. Yeah, travel, travel, travel. But nowadays, I'm a real puss. Like, I don't want to go to the gas station alone.
I know. And don't get me on a plane. So that's why you were talking about camping. I've been considering starting to camp a little bit.
Well,
that would be cool, like on the beach and stuff like
this
that.
This sounds fantastic.
Yeah, like in tents and things
like
that.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
I haven't done this in years.
You know what you have? You wanderlust.
Yeah.
It's a word that's very millennial.
Yeah.
And
right?
It means like lusting for wonder.
Yeah.
Wandering.
That's true.
I think that's what it means.
Maybe that's what it
means.
But
you wanted to travel.
Yeah,
you feel
I miss, and I miss nature, you know. I mean, we're surrounded by concrete and asphalt.
L.A. especially.
Time,
oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we need someone described L.A. traffic as soul-crunching or something.
Crushing.
Crushing?
Soul-crushing.
Soul-crushing,
but
okay.
Crunching is also probably good.
Yeah, that's why it made sense to me to say crunching. But soul-crushing, that's exactly what it is. Yesterday I was sitting in traffic. I thought, that's exactly how I feel.
You know, it's funny, too. It's not just in the car. My husband and I were getting like a drink and a date night, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting outside, and every other red light, there was honking because someone was trying to turn left. Uh-huh. And I'm like, let the... And it was like interrupted this romantic moment of like, man, I love you so much. And what the fuck, ass? And I'm like, all right. So it's not just soul crushing for the people in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, it was dreadful. Dreadful.
That's true.
Just
it
want to turn
dreadful.
Left.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get to our guest right now. Enough of this garbage.
Thanks
that
a
we
lot.
Always come in, bring
sure,
in.
Yeah.
No, it's, you know, relative to the guests, it's... No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
Of course, it's garbage.
I'm self-deprecating at times, but, you know, we love what we do, and that's the important thing.
It's garbage. Trust me.
We're joined by filmmaker Keitha Gentis. She's a TV producer, writer, and director. Welcome to the show, Keitha.
Yay. Good to be here. You guys are fun.
Thank you. I told you you'd have a lot of fun.
I know. I want to party with you guys after the show.
You'll have more fun because now you get to talk about yourself for an hour. There you go. You see?
Couldn't be more fun.
Exactly. There you go. So, Keitha, do you live in L.A. or are you visiting us?
Well, I did live here for 6 years, but I did find it soul-crushing.
Yeah,
or crunching. Well, one or the other.
Crunching.
And so I live in New York now.
Oh, I see.
Back
how long
east.
Did you live in L.A.?
6 years.
Really?
I judge it by how many earthquakes I lived here for. I think I had two and some major...
Tremors.
No, there were some big ones. I was here for the North... No, the not right before the one. The Whittier quake and one of these apocalyptic fires. So
that was a while ago.
Yeah, and I was here for Rodney King riots. Yeah,
wow. Yeah, that was a while ago. And where did you move to L.A. from? New York?
New York, yeah. So
oh,
I'm a
so
New Yorker.
You moved to, you're a New Yorker, you moved to L.A., now you're back in New York.
Yeah, and I made a stop in New Jersey, too. So I spent about 20 years in northern New Jersey as well, raising my children.
Oh, wow. How cool is that, right?
Yes.
So you're an East Coast person.
I am.
So a story.
Yeah, I'm D.C.
a DC person. There you
I lived
go.
In New York too.
How far is DC from New York?
It's like 3 hours by train.
Oh, by train.
Yeah, like Excella.
Okay. By the expensive one.
It'd be very expensive one. That's true. It is much longer when I took the Vamoose bus, right. which is right. just a bus.
But most people take like the shuttle or something. There's, isn't there like a...
Yeah, like Amtrak does the Excella.
No, no, no. I think he's talking about the flight.
The flight, yeah.
Oh,
the flight.
The flight.
Isn't there like
but
they
driving,
call it a shuttle?
95 is... Uh-huh. As bad as any traffic in Los Angeles.
Really?
If you drive the corridor, that's, that can be pretty bad.
How wonderful is that, right? So, yeah, and I noticed, you know, traffic is bad in every city in the world.
Yeah, D.C. has terrible traffic,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. And I was thinking, so why does it feel worse in L.A.? And I thought it's because of the distances. Mm-hmm. L.A. is really spread out. So although you have traffic in every city, you don't have to drive as far and deal with it as long as we do.
It's also people taking selfies in their cars in L.A.
That's true,
and
yeah.
And texting.
And texting.
I know, and texting and
but
stuff.
But L.A. is very camera forward.
I mean, I'm a mass transit person. I mean, I live below the ground. I love that I can get everywhere and anywhere.
Nice.
Via
and I guess
subway.
You become like that when you live in New York,
that's what
right?
I was doing
I mean,
all that in New York.
Crazy to have a car there, right?
Yeah, no, I do live by alternate side of the street parking, so I do have that car to get me back to New Jersey or wherever else. But
then you go into the city, there's nowhere to park, or it's very expensive, right?
Like I said, I do all my meetings that I can be like able between 11:30 and 1 moving my car, you know, on a couple of days a week. But, you know, it makes you feel like a real New Yorker.
Yeah, right?
But then I'm underground.
Awesome. So so you dabble quite a bit in TV.
Well, no. I actually started as an independent filmmaker. I mean, I
really?
Worked in the movie business.
Uh-huh.
So during my youth, I worked in the movie business in a job. I went to UCLA for film school for screenwriting, got my MFA.
Talk closer to the mic.
Oh, got my MFA.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
In screenwriting.
Uh-huh.
And
wow.
Then we moved back east and I had children and I thought that this business was a little bit more than I could handle juggling with children.
Wow.
And then we moved back east. And then, you know, when my kids were starting to get older, I started writing again. And then, you know, to get somebody to read a script when you've been out for a while was challenging. And I was sort of like, wait, I think I could make this movie faster than somebody will actually read it. And so my first film was a romantic comedy with Vanessa Williams and Eartha Kitt.
Wow.
I had Ben Vereen and Anna Camp now.
I love Ben Vereen.
Yeah. And that was called And Then Came Love. And I got a deal with Warner Brothers. And then nobody really called to say what's next. So I just thought, like, my phone's going to be ringing off the hook.
Yeah, right?
Did not. Wow. And then I did two more features. And I've worked with quite a few comedians, which is so much fun. So my last film had Janine Garofalo and Sherry O'Terry and Christopher Titus.
Those are the people.
Ben Bailey. And then, so that was that. Then I was like, what am I going to do next? Which brings me here today. Is I wanted to do my Eat, Pray, Love story of midlife when all of a sudden you have lived this child-centric life, your kids get older, you start getting older, but you sort of kind of return to your youth. So it's sort of the mommy midlife crisis TV show. So, I mean, basically, I want to do women in midlife because I found that this was this kind of very vibrant, exciting time of life. And my daughter, who was in college but playing a sport, so you know she was having fun, but she's like, wait, mom, you're having actually more fun than I am.
Wow.
So but you know, on a serious and comedic side, I wanted to do the friendship story of women in midlife because I looked at it more like Girls than Sex in the City, because it's about finding yourself. Because I think where I saw Girls, I'm like, oh, here are these women in Brooklyn, like, whoa, who am I? What am I doing? And then I was like, wait, we're their parents. We dropped them off from Brooklyn. And we're like, wait, what are we?
Yeah, right. Same conversation.
It was the same thing. Yeah. And also, I feel like, which, because, you know, everything's about the millennials. And I'm like, I spawned them. Isn't that enough? But but yeah, like, I do find that there is this connection between our, like, the generations are sort of blended. So in any case, I wanted to do it as a traditional television show, ran into a couple of ageist roadblocks along the way, because for some reason, people out here don't think that we're as cool as we think we are. And
because you see in New York, like with the odd mom out, all that stuff is very that generation.
Well, it is, but it's like parenting. And mine was, and it doesn't deal with midlife.
Got
and
it.
So mine, like, it's like, yeah, that's still like the form. And it's true. Like you have odd mom out and Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. But like, again, they all have, they're in that sort of family show. So you're not.
It's just on them, right?
Yeah. Attention so much to the experiences. Because I really wanted to look at that chapter of life. Again, the way Girls is a millennial show, I really want it to be the midlife show. Mm-hmm. And there are four different women on their own little journeys. And again, I didn't, you know, I'm not at the cool kids table in what, you know, that's how it goes. And so so I did it as a web series. We launched, because that's the new frontier. Because I was
going to say, that's the cool table.
That is the cool table. And that's where, and I had a lot of people supporting me in the industry, like, hey, you have to find out a way. You have something here. You have something here. Just even though every advertiser thinks if we do a show about women in their 40s and 50s, that they'll have their cool car, like that Ferrari next to like the Depends ad. And
right, exactly.
They freak out. They're whoa. Let's. Wow. So we don't want to brand ourselves to those old ladies. So in any case, I did it as a web series. I have Judy Gold as a stand. I mean, she's fabulous. She's in it. Ben Bailey, I have in it. It's just in the comedian space. Uh-huh. I have some other funny actors, some great women who are so right, that are these fabulous New York actresses. Stephanie Little, Holly Kate, Leanne Hutchison, Rako Ellsworth, who's out here, who's been on 24. And, you know, I did it as a web series. And we have 8 episodes that are on Amazon right now.
What's the name of the show?
It's called... Oh, I...
Yeah.
I was like, say the name of the show.
I know.
Gosh, I'm going to say it like 10 times now.
Right.
So I should have kept... It's called The Other F Word.
Thank you.
So it's The Other F Word.
Other F Word.
Because F could be for 50 or 40, but then there's all these other things like fun, and our tagline is fun never gets old.
That's great.
And so, yeah, it's The Other F Word, because I didn't say it before. And we're on Amazon... We started streaming there like the first week of September. We've hit 100 5 stars, which is amazing, because I just have to show this demographic exists, because a lot of people are like, yeah, no, I get it. But like, do people your age actually know how to use the internet? Do they know what a web... Do they? We don't see them on YouTube. I'm like, because there's nothing for them
there's
on
YouTube. Yeah, and what's funny is they're probably the people buying the most expensive stuff.
Well, when that
you're,
is a fact.
You know what I'm saying? So when you don't advertise because you think you're not cool, you're not advertising to those with money who are willing to spend it. Like, women at that age have made themselves. They have a career. They have their money. You're wasting... You're not showing where they could... And Tori, their moms, usually.
Yeah. Well, Tori, you're 100% right, because that's where I was like, but I have all this data, because they kept saying it's a tough demographic. I'm like, I don't understand the data, because these Wall Street people are like, look at the data. 66% of the wealth is controlled by women. And then in terms to the mothers, when their kids, when they become empty nesters, they spend more money. And, you know, as
you're
a young person,
yeah.
But we also make the buying decisions for our millennial children. We make the buying decision, because I know people that are buying houses. Like, we sold our house. We did the flight thing of suburbia. The person who bought our house, like, they brought their parents along to the mom. Like, the mom's like, you should buy that house.
Exactly.
So anyway, but that's that. So we have a very funny show. We get the LMAOs, you know, all that stuff. We're, you know, all those cool hips. See, I'm cool. Did I say it right? But no, so we just want to, you know, everybody's like, they want more. We want to show that, you know, like, just tell these stories, because it's a great chapter of life. There's sex and drama and comedy and friendship. I think really you get, like, your friendship becomes even stronger as you get older, like,
right.
Female friendship.
So I find middle age to be depressing, but you say it's not the case.
Well, I just feel it's like existentialism. Like, you could look at it as depressing, or
that's
you could
true.
Just look at
perspectives.
It like...
Perspectives.
Yeah.
I think
you have to accept it, and that's what I haven't done yet. I haven't accepted the fact that I'm older now, and I'm in a different league, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't get to play in other leagues.
But why don't you get to play in other leagues?
Well, for complicated reasons. Oh, like, nobody's interested in somebody who's 56 years old, and from the younger crowd.
No, but you have to reject that.
What?
You just have to reject that.
Yeah, I don't know
why,
if that's
but
true.
That's what I see happening.
Yeah, but I mean, I validate what you're saying, but I just think what I think of this stage of, like, your 40s and 50s and, like, into your 60s, it's this, you want to grab it all and do it now.
Right.
And that's what I think. Like, I think, of course, nobody wants to get old. Like, I did, you know, not like it either.
Yeah.
But then you're just like, but it's also, and that's like, I have this another hashtag, which is like, no fear. I feel like, especially as women, you go into this, because you're like, well, if I don't do it now, it's like,
yeah,
I'm never going to do it. And
right.
you have this sort of, I think when you're younger, you're so worried about what other people think.
Right.
And then you learn that it's like, what is it? Helen Mirren said, when I turned 40, I learned I would have told my younger self. They said, what would you have told your younger self? She said, I would have told my younger self to say fuck off a lot more.
Really?
And it's like, it's like too old. I have hashtag too old to care.
Yeah.
When I turned 34, I was like, oh, I just don't care anymore. And it was very freeing.
Yeah.
Because I just can't, if you're going to be mad at me, a boss, that is no reason, I'm going to be, I don't care.
Right.
I will, if I'm right, you know what I mean? It did free me up to become a human being and an adult.
Yeah, and that's what I think is definitely part of getting older.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely the double-edged sword.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You see, and that's the thing, because you're right in essence, because these are some of my happiest years right now, although there's a lot of... I think the reason that it depresses me to be older is because I feel I missed out on a lot.
Mm.
And
you have
when
FOMO.
I was younger. Yeah.
Fear of missing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
But that's what I think what you're speaking to, and that's what I wanted to capture, is I think people do that, and especially when you've had children, you've put a... And that's the other thing, is I feel like as a woman in particular, in your 20s and 30s and 40s, you're sort of living for other people, whether it's your boss, whether it's a partner, whether it's your children. And then all of a sudden you're like...
For you.
It's like you put yourself first. It doesn't mean in a selfish way, but all of a sudden your needs, you're like, wait, my needs come first now.
That's true.
But I think that fear of missing out part is like, that's where which is the whole pseudo midlife crisis. It's all of a sudden you're like, I got to make up for lost time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why you buy the Ferrari.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
At least at a later age, you have more money than you did when you were younger, you know? So you can buy more things.
That's true.
Well, so just like to give you a little bit of the storyline. So the A character, like the A, there's four women each on their own journeys. But in that, with when you brought the Ferrari, it made me think about it. So I wanted to have like the mom who's like the every mom. And her last child's gone to college. She's basically hasn't worked much during these child-rearing years. She feels like she's been laid off from the best job ever because she identified. And women are constantly, you know this, reinventing themselves. And
yeah.
We get used. So there was a skydiving birthday party, something. Anyway, there's a death at the beginning. And the husband has his midlife crisis. And he basically comes in and says, I quit my job and I've joined the Peace Corps. And I'm going to leave you for a year. And his kind of naivete is like, one, it's not a selfish thing because I'm doing charity work. And we've been married and we're so happily married. You know, we're going to have a year off. So he sort of leaves her holding the bag as this person who's like confused. But I wanted to do a midlife crisis that was still sort of a self-indulgent sort of move. But he like totally ditches her. So I wanted her to have this coming of age story where she's a wife, but not really. She's a mom, but she's not really.
Right.
And now she goes, and also can you come of age separately and come back and be happy?
The stakes for her like couldn't be higher. Like everything was like here, and then he leaves, and then that's the highest, yeah.
And then I threw in there too that, you know, all of a sudden now she doesn't have his income. So she's, you know, just not make it like, so it's sort of, the way a lot of these people, you know, you want to
make it. You can still go out, yeah.
You know, oh, I could sit around, and it's like, no, now you have to, like, get a job.
Work.
Or you're going to lose things. And people have really connected with her, whether they are women like her, you know, like, they're not just these sort of stay-at-home moms that connect with her. It's just this sort of universalness of completely having to, you know, reinvent yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For those of you joining us, we're talking to director Keitha Gentis. You're more than a director. I mean, you produce this as well, right?
Yeah, I'm like, I call myself two
like
things.
A filmmaker.
A filmmaker storyteller. I call myself a storyteller.
Sounds good. So, Keitha Gentis, and the series is The Other F Word.
You should put FOMO in there for Other F Word.
Yeah,
that's
another one.
That's a good one. Anytime.
There you go. FOMO it is.
That's what I hear all the time now from the millennials.
Like
FOMO.
So you guys can go to the website. It's theotherfwordseries.com, and you can find out everything. Beautiful actresses, beautiful cast.
And a really cool, unique story that needs to be told that isn't being shared.
So how many episodes are in this series?
So there are 8 episodes. The whole thing runs an hour, and again, when I do my little Q&A thing and I'm explaining it, I say like web series are for people with attention deficit disorder.
Oh, totally.
That's true.
Totally,
right?
you just look something shiny.
So we have 8 episodes, and really it's a proof of concept. People are enjoying it, and we are so dependent. We're doing this grassroots campaign to show that this is an audience. We're not invisible. We can get content this way. You know, we're excited because we've done, like, I had a screening party last week at my, the woman who does my hair in Chelsea. There were like 50 women that came on a Sunday night, and they were like, oh no, this is great. How can we help you? This, I was at this conference, this woman in San Francisco, she's like, I've got a group of 300 women. They're these incredible women in their 40s and 50s. They would love your show. And again, it's comedy and drama. So it's not like, you know, it's a fun night, but it celebrates, and everybody wants to see an extension of themselves
on represented
in. Yeah,
that's true.
You always want to see something represented that you look like you.
Yeah,
exactly. That's sort of like you can identify with. And that's why I was going to ask you, you like me probably grew up with 30 something and everything.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that was a time when I was 30, 31 years old.
Right. You're totally
relating. We had a baby, you know, all this stuff, and you can relate to these people, you know? So this is like for the same generation,
yeah, it's
but
like
now
50
we're older.
Something. But I mean, I do want to reinforce, because there is that fear that the younger people who've seen this, first of all, the children, because I jokingly say our children have, you know, there's the cord cutting. It's like we haven't cut the umbilical cord, which is like a bungee cord, because it just goes out and keeps coming
and
back.
Keep
in.
Coming
That's me
back.
And my mother. That's me and my mother.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my daughter lives with me.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah.
But the difference is my daughter lives with me. She's like, Mom, my colleagues are meeting for happy hour. You want to join? Like, they totally want to meet you.
It's a weird meshing, isn't it? Yeah, it's a meshing.
But the point being is that the kids, these young adults, are definitely part of the story. It's just starting from these women, as well as the men. The men in their lives, as the show grows, have very rich lives too. I just wanted it to be sort of centric on them, so the show can really appeal to more than just women in this
women
age.
It's like Grace and Frankie. Right. Like, my husband and I freaking love that show, and we are not that age group, but they have the kids in it, and it's like, I totally relate. That's so exciting, though, that because even though you kind of self-deprecated about being on Amazon, to a millennial or someone a little bit above, you could not be cooler.
Oh, no, no. I'm not putting Amazon.
No.
Very clear. Not putting Amazon down.
No, but I mean, not even being on TV is even, like, I think that's rad.
Oh, no, it's very cool. I just need somebody else to pay for future episodes. I love being on Amazon, and I love that people can review it, and I enjoy sharing with people who aren't aware that there's these great shows on Amazon that I'm helping in many ways. I just am like, all right, here you go.
Yeah, let's do something
with
it.
Let's pick it up the tab.
Right. There you go. So you said this was a grassroots effort. Did you self-finance most of it?
So it's done on a and I really encourage people to see it, because it's very high production value. We have a skydiving pilot. Like, there's stuff going on. I got a partnership with a local university in New Jersey, Fairleigh Dickinson. So we had an entire student crew. They had these Sony F3s. We had top-of-the-line cameras.
It was all, like, and college kids were learning how to do it
so
on a movie?
Yeah, but when you talk about that, like, we were meant to, like, so that's, like, neat to the kind of female experience about too, because we had a very heavy, like, woman crew. My editor was a woman, my producers, and the AD was, like, right out of college, a woman. And we didn't intentionally do it. The DP was a man. We didn't, like, go, oh, let's just pick women. But it was really nice to mentor this next generation through these stories. And they were so professional. So I didn't really have that help subsidize it. I did it kind of a fractured Atlas deal, because I've raised money for films, but I'm like, I don't know how you monetize this. But it was basically self-financed, because it was just so important to me to get these stories out. And because the script was so validated, like, if people are like, you know, everybody kept saying, you have a great script, but, and it was like, so I was just like, I got to get this story out there. And it's, you know, I'm doing everything and anything to just spread the word. So I appreciate your having me here.
No, I know. But that's what being creative is about.
We keep hearing the same
thing. You have
thing
to let it
right.
out.
Yeah, yeah, even if you're told, you know? No. The same thing Sam and I keep hearing over and over again is, so I did it myself. That's when you break through.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You do it yourself. Well, and that's, I think, how the industry's gotten. It's like,
absolutely,
why should we take the risk when we know you'll take the
risk?
They're
the least risky people I've ever met in my life.
And so, you know, I accept that. And, you know, and again, in terms of it, like Judy Gold, Steve Guttenberg, they are
my number one.
Yeah.
Guttenberg.
Yeah, no, he's just like, woo! Yeah, no, and he's awesome. And he's just like, whatever I can do, Judy Gold too. They're like, I get it, because I see
they're
it
artists
in stand-up.
Exactly.
But she sees it in stand-up comedy, like being Comedy Central saying you've aged out.
Yeah, you're a woman that's aged out, and I'm right there. I'm right there, and it's like, oh man, I couldn't have picked a worse profession. I mean, nah. Really, it is. It's a very wonderful, happy profession, but it's an age limited profession.
Yeah,
a
lot. But we're gonna break through.
Oh,
that
it's already breaking through. Like, you know, it's this year is the year of the female comic. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's starting.
Well, and that's why I say I feel like for women, you're breaking through the glass ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
For older women, it's made of plexiglass. It's a lot harder. Right.
That's a really good metaphor, actually. I like that, the plexiglass, but still doable.
Oh yeah,
look at you.
Hey, well, that's you know, and that's we did a New York Women in Film screening. I forgot about that. We had that this week too, and you know, Judy was there, and she stood up. She goes, "You know what? We dream big, and there are just people out there that are trying to not allow us to, but we do dream big, and we will, and now we can, and there's ways to."
There's access.
Fulfill
right.
your dream.
Wow.
Right. And also, did I just... okay.
Snort?
Yeah, yes. I did just snort. Sometimes it does happen, you know. You got to know how to open your throat a little. But, no, this is cool, you know. So I like the idea that women are working on this, that, that there's really... stories to tell. I mean, there's not a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of stories to tell about people in their 40s, 50s, you know. I mean, they're, I think, for some of the most productive years for many people, you know. Maybe not being, maybe not a model or an athlete or something, but in many other professions, you gain a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. And then by the time you're that age, you can run a company, you know what you're doing. You know, things like that, you
but
know.
But you can run a marathon, too. I mean, you can do anything.
That's true.
That's true. You, like, again, meaning your only limitations are yourself.
Right?
That's true, yeah.
The prison is self-built if you're stopping.
You know, and then again, you might have some physical things that stand between you and your goals. But as you see from so many, you know, these athletes through the Special Olympics, I mean, there are people doing things
crazy
you would never think they could do. And that's how I think it is. Like, it's not about... trying to be something you're not. It's just allowing yourself to be who you want to be.
Right.
The fullness of that. Yeah.
You're authentic, you know, and it's that authentic self, which is this sort of hero's journey. And that's, you know, which is...
So, okay, so you're saying if I just want to be young, I should act young.
No.
And hang out with young people? No,
I'm saying you need to just... Not at all. I think you should hang around with the people that you connect with and not let age define that. I'm not saying, because it's not about, you don't want to be young. You just want to have this.
No, I do want to be young.
Well, we all want to be young.
No, we all were, but you know
but
what?
But you want to keep your youthful spirit. And that's what I'm saying is, so you can
have. That I have, yeah.
Right. So you find compatible people and it doesn't necessarily
matter what age.
Exactly.
It shouldn't matter. Take the age out of the equation.
Exactly.
It should be what turns you on.
Okay, well, I...
in a safe way, Sam.
I insist I'm correct in my case. But that's me, you know. I mean, that's me. I'm not saying everybody's like that.
Well, but I mean, we can't, you know, like, I'd like to play professional basketball. I mean, there's things
right,
like...
Exactly.
I would love to be able to sing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's all part of acceptance, I think. Just like when we accept death and we explain that we get the one chance. To me, it's like you get a gift... But then at the end, you have to give it back, you know, and you have to go back to where you were. So, I mean, life, the gift of life, right? You have to give it back. You get 80 years or whatever, and you give it back. But what I'm saying is we have to be grateful for the time we did get.
Exactly.
And so I think the same is with age also. It's like, hey, I already got to go through my 20s, 30s. And I'll never go over it again.
Yeah,
you know?
Growing old is a privilege. Not a lot of people do. Some people don't get to have that privilege.
That's true.
So it's a privilege to grow old.
And I think what you're saying is, as you get close, what I was talking about the existentialism in essence, it's like if you realize you're born to die, which is the existential philosophy, like, oh, you know, every day you're one day closer to death. Like, you could let that depress you.
Or free you.
No, I wasn't talking about that at all.
No. Yeah. I know you're not. I'm just saying, it's like, I think as you get older, it's like, wow, it would be nice to be young again.
Right.
But the point is, it's like you don't want to get to that end and say, God, I wasted all my time in my 50s wishing I was young when I didn't enjoy what I was.
Exactly, because it's only going to get worse as you get into your 60s and 70s.
Or better.
You know? I don't know, man. I mean, age, you get to old age, you start having illnesses and things like that, and it gets hard. I mean, I have two aging parents, and I hate what I'm saying, but, you know. Yeah. But at any rate, so, yeah, what you're saying is enjoy this, because just like I didn't enjoy enjoy my 30s. Now I'm saying I wish I had enjoyed my 30s. Right. I should do the same thing now, right? That's what you're saying.
Well, I agree. And I'm just saying is the things I learned through my research is that venereal disease is very prevalent in this age group. So people are having a lot
of banging. I was going to say the 60s are rocking
the 50s
out.
And 60s. These women all of a sudden they hit menopause.
Sexy McGee's.
And then they're like, oh, I'm not going to get pregnant.
That's right.
So they're out there.
Seriously. No, like I read a lot about the sexual prowess of the 40, 50, and 60 year olds.
And there's no games at this point in life.
And
right?
Weed? Who's doing it?
Everyone. No, yeah, the new thing is you don't have a glass of wine afterwards, you have a joint.
No, but it's the older people
That's
are the
saying.
Largest demographic.
They're starting it. Absolutely.
You give me a horny woman with weed, I'm happy, man. I don't care. You're right. It doesn't matter how old she is.
So, just saying. Yeah. Anything's
They're
possible.
Like the cool new ones. Like Bernie Sanders, he was cool to millennials because he was old. Yeah. He had experience. He had, like, he was a badass because he was old.
Yeah.
Just think about that.
And he wasn't trying to be young.
He was he was relishing in the work he's done independently for himself. Like,
well,
at
that point in your life, you can't try to pretend you're young. You know?
Well, no, I think, but it was his attitude, which you're saying is like, I think people embraced his honesty and his
authenticity.
And he felt youthful just in his philosophy.
Right.
And he wasn't
because,
trying to be
well,
youthful.
Because he's hope. Like, hope is something that's tied to youth. Right. And he was bringing this kind of optimistic hope that connected with younger people.
And a lot of energy to that.
As opposed to cynicism, because a lot of times people feel you get older and you get cynical, where I think he was believing in things that were philosophically tied to younger people, but he wasn't trying to be young.
Right. Yeah. But it was weird, like the old white dude energized the whole party. I mean, it's like very interesting. That guy energized everybody.
Yeah.
So the energy came from him.
Now, so in the series, do you also focus at least partly on the men's?
Well, yeah, they're introduced. Again, if it was a full 9-hour series. So I have, like I said, he goes to the Peace Corps. I have, then she meets this guy in the park who's played by Michael Boatman because I have, like, she moves in with her sister. So her sister is the midlife, is basically late 40s, 50. Who never got married, because I didn't want them all to be moms. I wanted to have that fabulous woman that she worked in the theater, had a very time-consuming career, focus on that, and then you wake up and you're like, you know, I had guys, but I never put the energy into that.
Right.
And she has a younger boyfriend, but I wanted to do that. She's very conflicted by it, because he's a playwright. Now, we don't learn all this in the show, because it's just introduced, but I was like, okay, well, you know, you want to create interesting relationships that are familiar and different, and then I like to like kind of throw them all on the couch, you know, like why would they be together? So she's works as a theater manager, and it was kind of originally was the Genius Bar, but I couldn't get Apple to give me permission. Like her computer crashes and she meets a genius, but I made him a smarty pants instead. He works for like TechSmart. And you know, he's this playwright, and so I wanted them, so you know, he fixed her computer, which is, you know, you could fall in love with anybody
hero this. Woman man, I'm in love with you,
because she didn't back up her hard drive.
Serious. Oh my god,
this is funny, you know, because I remember I used to have a girlfriend, and then again in my 30s, and she would just sit and watch me type on the computer. That was the early days of the internet.
Yeah,
right?
You look like a hero.
About 97 or so, and she's just like, I'm getting wet just watching. You. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, I'm just like on the frigging computer, you know?
Yeah, well, so yeah. So she's the independent. And then I have like another funny. So the character that Rachel Ellsworth plays, and she's one who was in 24, a lot of people know, she's an NCIS, and she was in my last film, Bad Parents. She plays the mom who's like the over the top Uber helicopter mom whose daughter's at an Ivy League school. Plays field hockey. She texts her like 5 times a day. You know that. You know there's many of those types that you know, like the umbilical cord things.
Yeah.
So and she actually enrolls into, it would be like an NYU without calling it like NYU, to take all of her daughter's classes at college. So that way, because with
they
this
can
base,
just, like talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And this is actually based on something I had heard. So that's where it's like this mom going back to school, and Steve Guttenberg plays the teacher. And there'll be a whole story there.
Gutenberg.
And they're studying you know, a Portnoy's complaint,
oh, sure.
which has like the overbearing
the
mother.
Roth. Oh, yeah.
So like he, you know,
the Jewish. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So she's getting this, you know, text from her daughter and she's getting in trouble. And I think they're going to read like Fear of Flying next. Like, I would have all these really like fun, traditional, edgy books. But so she's now, you know, there. And then her daughter, I don't want to spoil it because it's one of the funnier scenes is, you know, now her daughter's in college. And is, you know, starting to act, you know, take her own life over, you know, when you... So I wanted to have, like, the controlling mom who sort of loses control, the nurturing mom who has nobody to nurture. Uh-huh. Then there's the other one who's, like, kind of the crazy, you know, sort of the pseudo-y, you know, the free spirit that mm-hmm. they have in all those. And she's the one whose husband dropped dead. And then she had her first husband was actually from this hookup. So her first husband was gay. They had a kid. Then she marries like the virile guy. He drops dead. So now she's just like.
It's like you give everything what they want and take it away.
Yeah.
And then you have a story.
Yeah. And that's the fun because it gives everybody.
Stakes are high.
Yeah. And it's, you know, instead, like I've got things that are dramatic. And some people who've commented have been like, you know, I love that you introduce the drama, but it's in this light way that it's you know, you it and then you can. Make a laugh out of it somehow.
It's very like this dramedy. That's what everyone's doing. And it's so good because life is so much more like, it's not like da 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 joke. Ha 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 ha. It's like, this sucks and it's good. I mean, that's what life
is. Well, and that's really from what you do. Like, stand up comedy comes from pain.
Oh, everything is pain.
Yeah.
Everything is pain. And, or humiliating or terribly, embarrassing. Yeah, exactly.
And it always happens to us in childhood where we're ill equipped to deal with it. And then we grow up and we all have to fix that.
Right,
you
or I mean, I still have stuff where I'm
overcome it. Or
yeah,
whatever.
I'm still doing dumb shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I know. Well, we grow older and then we get wiser, right?
Yeah, let's hope.
Perhaps.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I know. I still make stupid mistakes.
Yeah,
sometimes,
exactly.
You know?
I know. Isn't that? Yeah, that's the thing. You just keep repeating.
You keep learning.
Yeah.
That's right.
You guys can find out more about the series by going to theotherfwordseries.com, and you can see the cast, and there's... Is there like a preview or something? Yeah.
Well, there's a little trailer, okay. And then there's also the links because, again, that you could get to it on Amazon through our website or on Amazon. We actually have a Facebook partnership. And then there's also, you know, we're hosting it on our site because we just want to make it easy. Just, mm-hmm. you know.
Find it anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's where it is. We are sharing it. We just want to make it easy for people to find it.
That's the thing. And you got to let people sample what you do,
totally.
You know? And I think once you do and there's demand for it, then you can start monetizing something like this.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and there is actually Amazon does have they do have
a program.
You know, they have small royalties.
Right.
And then they do, for their top shows, they offer a nice incentive.
Nice.
So hopefully
nice. Very
we
good.
Qualify.
Yeah. So everybody that listens here better go watch The Other F Word, especially if you're a woman, 40s, 50s.
Or the children.
Or me, yeah. Or the
children.
Children.
Yeah,
right.
There you go, you know. And learn a lot more it's interesting to see what goes through people's minds, what goes through their lives, and we don't often think about these things, you
And
know?
You know what? We all only saw represented of that age group, and they were a little younger, is what you said, like Sex in the City. And like, what did I learn from that? One's the slut, one, and they all have $1 million of money and huge apartments. And it's like, are those real problems or are these not real problems?
Well, and
you know
also
what I mean?
To that, and again, it was a different time.
Totally.
I wanted mine to be slightly, like, there's definitely romance and that, but that was so driven by coupling.
Yeah.
It was Finding Prince Charming.
It was always finding the man, finding the man.
It was all about, and I think that's in the pilot, it was like, can you find your Prince Charming?
Exactly.
And it, you know, and it was, had the sort of embracing sex and can you have sex without that? But I mean, they're always in
search. The goal was like for
coupling.
The prince. Yeah.
And I didn't want my show to be driven by coupling. And that's why with like things like Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, it's like and that's why when I took the men out of it, because you need that. You need to have, break things up. I wanted it to be that it's not like she's on a journey to
find another one or something. Yeah, that's great. Because you don't see that these days of just, it's not, I'm trying to find a romantic partner. It's like, I know, I'm just trying to freaking live my life. You know what I mean?
Well, and I also feel like, and this is always because I've done romantic comedies, I feel like the first thing you need to do is love yourself and then love comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I feel like how I like to do my romantic comedies. It's just like, because usually there's something missing why you don't have that what's standing between you and that romantic goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, if you once you, it's my whole thing on LA too, you know, you want something, you want to tell people in LA or the movie business, be like, I want you, but I don't need you. Yeah. And that's how I think it is with relationships. I want you, but I don't need you.
Very true.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. For a woman, let's say mid-50s, okay, what ages would she date? I mean, what do they look for? Older, younger?
See, there you go. That's general. I think. Yeah. So I think.
I'm very preoccupied with age. Yeah.
Well, no, I agree. I think on dating websites, it's very much towards that. And I do think for women, your best years for that of desirability are your 20s, because everybody wants somebody in their 20s, 20-year-olds and up. And so you are just like a pig, and you know, and then that's where you're like, oh, like what's all this everybody whining about with like not funny guys? I got a million. And then you turn 30 and then things start changing. But the point is I think what I said, like obviously if you're filling out an algorithmic thing on a dating site, which is a very prevalent way you meet people, but I think I think you want to find somebody compatible.
Right.
So I do think people who date very much out of their age group,
how much can they have in common?
Yeah. Mm. And what's driving that? But again, I'm not a therapist, and I'm also like, hey, if it makes you happy.
Totally.
But I think, like, again, saying is that, yeah, you want to find somebody that you have things in common and you look like you somewhat belong together.
Right. But I mean about your characters in the movie.
Yeah.
Are they similar ages?
Oh, well, they're all the same. Oh, because I had their friends. So there's one who's the sister, the older sister who's the single one. And then the three of them, they all have kids the same age. So in my backstory, which is mentioned, they met like in a playgroup in New York City. And then two moved to the city, suburbs. And then one stayed in the city, and then the other one's the sister. So, you know, the sister's the friends with, you know, her friends. So.
I see. Cool.
Is Gutenberg a really nice guy?
Oh.
Is he hot in person?
He is
the coolest.
He is so awesome.
What's the Tutorial?
I'm sorry. He's
never a girlfriend.
I know, but just let him know, will you?
Does he always come across as the nerdish guy?
No, for some reason, since Three Men and a Baby, I am a Goot
fan. He was like an A-list hot
Police
star.
Academy? Are you kidding me with this?
That's true. Because I just always pictured him in comedy.
I will tweet him
will
after
you?
This.
Oh, my God. My dream is coming true.
I'm going to say, because he's really very generous,
kind,
and he's very real, because he actually is dealing with his midlife story. He's like, I am the luckiest guy. I've accomplished so much, and so I just am doing things that
I want to do
and make me happy, because you know I recognize that I had this great fortune and did well, and now you know he's at another stage of looking
at
it.
He did what, Party Down, was that what it was? And he did he had a resurgence in his midlife, and like Steve Gutenberg came back on the scene. Yeah. It was like awesome, because he wasn't much older, and
because he's I think in his mid to late 50s, but he's just, I'm just saying, just
a
in
new
general
resurgence.
He's just very open and generous, and not you know the way some people get.
Not L.A.
Well, I mean, he lives here, too. He lives both places. But he doesn't. Yeah, he's not cynical. Tori's that cynical.
Well, tell him Tori really
And he's Jewish, part of the tribe.
Yeah, part of the tribe.
There you go. So it's not a far... It's not too far-fetched for you, Tori.
I'm happily married. But I just tell him, I'm totally big fan.
He's your NJB.
Woo, he is my number one.
If only they allow two husbands in a lifetime, right?
Trust me. I always was like, I want to be the person that it's like, oh yeah, she had a husband and lovers.
Right. It's very French of you.
Yes, it doesn't sound like she was having affairs. It's like she's got her lovers.
Lover seems totally redeemable. Like, totally okay. Absolutely. If you have a mistress, screw you. Lovers, you're fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was a
We're so freaking out of time, I can't even tell you. So Kate the Jet is good. Tell people how they can find you, how they can get
Yeah, well, you can find me. So especially if anybody hears us, like I'm at Katha. It's the good thing of having a weird name. At CAYTHA on Twitter. You know, I'm on Facebook. And then also we have a Facebook page, the Other F Word Series. So you can find me at Katha. So feel free to tweet. Anything you want, anybody wants to tweet me, I'll send it on over to Goot.
Goot! We love you, man.
There you go. Now you owe it to her, you know?
I will make it happen. Is he on the your list?
I have the Brad Pitt. I got the Goot.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a Bradley Cooper's, Ryan Gosling.
But you have that list with your husband. What's that? Oh, yeah. From Friends. You're,
oh, of course. You get the one person to do. Yeah. He's still Jennifer Aniston from Friends.
Right.
But Good is number two for me.
All right. Can't you tell? I mean, she's pretty much orgasms of just
all
the name,
my life.
At his, the mention of his name.
He's a good guy.
Like, yeah. All right, well, Keita, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
much
you.
Success for, with your show. It sounds
the other
like
you F word.
You put in a lot into it, and it sounds interesting and everything. And we wish you all the best, really.
Well, thank you, so much for having me. You guys are so much fun.
Nice.
Oh,
thank you.
Invite me back. I have to make another season, so you'll invite me back.
There you go. Well, you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
Really, and I told you'd have the best time on this show. Because everybody says so. So there you go. All right, Tori, have a great weekend.
I will.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you all on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.